This episode was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, with gratitude for thousands of generations of rich culture, storytelling and song. January 26, 1788. The Crown sail into Sydney Cove and hoist a British flag. Exactly 235 years later, and I'm standing a few kilometres from that spot. January 26th is celebrated as Australia Day, but for First Nations people, it's a day of mourning and resistance.
For me, today represents, you know, like our survival and, you know, all our old people. And so it's the first year I've had that time in the morning to just get up and make my, you know, bring my girls, like, with me. And, you know, like, just making them be a part of today. I'm always running around doing gigs or got something and I always take it really easy. But today I was like, nah, this is about me and the babies. I'll get them up. They can go into the march and listen. And it was run by all women this morning in there. And I'm so glad I brought them in. They were just into it, you know. They were leaning themselves in and asking me lots of questions. And yeah, no, it was good to share that.
I'm at Yarban Festival. Standing next to me, side of stage, is Emma Donovan, a songwriter, performer, and proud Goombanga and Dungari woman.
I hope your mob had a beautiful day. Sending love to all the mob out there, your Yakubna, your families, your old people, your Yanbana.
Emma's about to get up and perform with Neil Morris of Dreaming Now. They're going to play Get Back to the Land in tribute to Uncle Archie Roach.
Oh, when somebody does you wrong, what do you do?
Uncle Archie passed away in 2022, leaving behind a body of work that shone a light on the stolen generation, gave a voice to his people, and changed people's minds.
It's an absolute privilege to invite Emma Donovan.
You gotta get back to the land. Get back to the land. When they don't understand, you gotta get back to the land.
Backstage after the show, Neil tells me why he invited Emma to perform the song.
And one of the things that's so special to me about Emma is her humility and humbleness at the same time as being such a powerful person with song. And for me, that speaks volumes about the cultural integrity, particularly. She's amongst the most powerful voices on this land, period. She's a treasure.
Emma has a warmth both on and off the stage that draws you in.
Up the platform through the people who sleep when we part a day.
She's willing to be vulnerable.
And from everything that could have gone wrong that time, I never knew that you'd come along.
A quality that makes her music so powerful and emotional.
Never.
But it's her voice that you never forget.
Little bit of history for myself here, sitting solid on Blackfella country.
The next day, Emma takes me out to La Perouse, near the airport in Sydney's south.
I've known it as Lapa or Yarra Bay, you know, growing up. But also it's a special place for me because in growing up, we came out here for Survival Day when we lived in Sydney. And they'd have all the big concerts out here. And so that music and that the sea is just there. And we'd swimming and playing all day and then we'd walk up and watch music. And that was always a safe space for me and my family to be in. And I was looking for that space yesterday. It was a hard day yesterday. And more importantly now, I've got the two little ones. And it's what I want to teach them and what I want to share with them about a day like that. Yeah, so I thought it'd be good to yarn here. Yeah. Reclaiming everything back. Walk that beat. Ain't gonna turn back now. Let nobody put us down. Bring it back right through this town. Marching on and on.
I'm just worried that there might be a little bit of wind coming onto this microphone.
There's a wind coming up, so we walk to the other side of Yarra Bay House to find some shelter.
When's the rest of the album coming out?
Yeah, well, the song that you and Stringbean sang on.
I've seen the bloody clip. I'm a little bit jealous of that clip. I'm like, biggest move there in this right at the end.
Emma performed the amazing backing vocals alongside our friend Liz Stringer for My Witch, a song on my new album. Famous, more than a feeling. The clip was filmed in a hot tub with some well-known songwriters, including Alice Guy, Kidapuru and Moju.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun clip
to
make.
Looked like you're having a good time.
I won't lie.
We sit down and Emma tells me about her Nan and Pop, who were also musicians.
I don't reckon, like, I would have had my earliest gigs without that connection to my Nan and Pop. They just had these beautiful voices and they sang a lot of old country songs and a lot of them were gospel. When my journey from life is ended in a land not far away, where the sun shines down so brightly. So that's where the music comes from. Them first gigs in my life were always through community mob that knew Nan and Pop. And the beach has golden sand. Nan and Pop come from the times where they'd raise money for community things like Aboriginal health, you know, helping mob pay for funerals and, you know, when mob was sick, they'd just put on these nights. And then later on, because Pop done so much gospel music, we'd be singing all the time for the funerals, you know. That was a big part of my life, singing for funerals. Who will be that one
that will be with you in this life? Music was where Emma found it most easy to connect with her Goombanga and Dungari languages.
It's something I didn't grow up with a lot. I heard words. I can't identify now when I think of the stuff I know growing up, what sides they were from, whether they were from the Goombanga or the Dungari side. And like the rainbows in the sky. A lot of the words I know from Nan, I reckon she spoke more Dungari to me. But she was married in the Goombanga, so she was throwing around a lot of that language from the Goombanga side. Like, Mum didn't speak a lot of Goombanga or Dungari. None of her brothers really have. Come more from me through the language centre up home.
Emma learnt songs and language at the Murabai Language Centre.
The Murabai Aboriginal Language Centre, which is right on the Nambucca Mish.
In Nambucca Heads, along the coast of New South Wales.
And the old fellas from the Nambucca Valley started up this language centre. Must have been like close to 20 years ago now. A lot of our last fluent speakers kind of passed, you know. They realised that they had to do something about it. Who never back down when things get tough?
I still don't think I'm a really good, you know, speaker even, you know. Like, I think my music's helped me more. And even writing and language, Mum, bless her, I could still see the look on her face. Like, she... There was one part there, she was ashamed that she couldn't. She had to learn it, and she was learning it through some of my songs. But I was like, Mum, it's, you know, that's what I'm doing it for.
It was a trip to Arnhem Land that stoked Emma's desire to go deeper with her language.
I was in a community, Yirrkala, and, you know, the mob up there, you know, they're fluent speakers. It was there being spoken, you know, in front of me. I think it's the guilt that I have a little bit for myself after that experience and life there was that I needed to go home and find my own language.
Emma was also inspired to write in language while working with the iconic group Black Armband.
Black Armband was a big part of my life too for language influences. I was encouraged to write in Gumbangit.
Black Armband formed in 2006 when Ruby Hunter told her partner Archie Roach, "We need an Aboriginal orchestra." Reached a new day. The band was named after a speech by the former Prime Minister John Howard.
We share together as Australians.
During his history wars, he dismissed the so-called Black Armband view of Australia.
We must not join those who would portray Australia's history since 1788 as little more than a disgraceful record of imperialism, exploitation and racism.
The band was a roll call of First Nations songwriting legends. It included Lou Bennett, Kev Carmody, Kutcher Edwards, Ruby Hunter, Jimmy Little, Shelley Morris, Stephen Pigram, and Archie Roach, to name a few. Emma, who was one of the younger members, performed with the Black Arm Band for over a decade.
That band was unbelievable because there's so many different language groups, so many different songs. We're all a part of it. We're all sharing. I think that was my confidence too with, you know, Aboriginal language. I don't think I've ever experienced anything else like that project that's fed me, that's nurtured me, that's made me feel like more about becoming like who I am and given me that opportunity to connect more with family and community.
Do you remember the first time you crossed paths with Arnie Blue?
Yeah, I'd see her gigs. There was a big gap after Titters had finished that I actually met Arnie Lou, and that was through Black Armband. Ah, she's such a beautiful presence, Arnie Lou. She's one of my biggest mentors, especially in a space like Black Armband.
As Emma began to write songs in Gumbanga, she realised she wanted to share it.
You know, them songs, they go right back to the community and the people. I remember every time I was going to sing this song, all I could think of was, I don't want to be the only one to sing this song. I want to make sure that the mob know from my community that they can sing this song too. Belongs to them because of that language. Yeah.
But she took it slowly and carefully.
Writing in language, you know, personally for me, means that if I do write in language and I do ask my community and mob for translations or story, I have to do it respectfully, even though it is my mother's language. There's a big thing about that because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to our community and our mob.
Experience made her think more about her daughters and what she'd pass along.
The reason why I do write more in language, or I'm interested in sharing language through music, is because there's two other sets of ears that are listening now, which is them little girls, and I want them to be confident. But I didn't have language growing up.
So Emma jumped at the chance to record lullabies in Gumbanga for ABC Kids.
We translated some of the old, you know, nursery rhymes like I Can Sing a Rainbow or Once I Caught a Fish Alive. Like, we translated them all in language because I wanted the kids to learn. Like, and I wrote some kids' songs so they can learn some of the words, you know.
One, two, three, four, five.
I heard that fish song on that EP.
Oh.
It's good.
Yeah.
A bit of a Māori.
Why did you let him go?
I gave my kids Aboriginal Gumbanga and Noongar names as for their names so they can, be confident and want to, have that connection to my homelands.
Singing in language with her girls is an opportunity Emma wished she could have shared with her mum, Agnes.
But there was one time when she did come down this way and Uncle Jimmy Little asked her to do backing. And I remember saying that to me when she was young. She goes, I always wanted to sing. I always wanted to do music, but I had to help Nan and Pop with your uncles or, you know, help work, you know, work and send money.
People sometimes ask me, Jim, where were you born? Where do you come from? And I come from many, many places.
Even though Agnes never got the opportunity to tour with Jimmy Little, years later she was able to fulfil that dream with Emma.
My first ever tour was with Uncle Jimmy Little. He took me on a NAIDOC tour once, and I was still in school, and Mum come with me, actually.
My home and my stage is Australia, which is your home, and that's where I'll always be, in your hearts, in your home, singing country music. I was born on the banks of the Murray.
And we did Cherbourg and St. George and Charleville, all them towns around Queensland. And I remember this big bus load, there was a mob, and then Mum come along and we went with Unc. Yeah. Yeah, we lost Mum, you know, like I was living in Melbourne there, found out I was just ready to have Jidiga, and I made all these plans to have her down there, Wurundjeri country. And then like nearly a month out, I just went, what am I doing? I woke up, I literally had a sleep. I woke up, I was like, I can't have my baby here. I need to be with Mum. And the father one now for Jidiga, he said, your Mum's going to be here, she's going to come. I said, nah, I need to go and have my baby there. I packed everything and I went back to Sydney and pretty much moved into my mum's house. And funny, like first time becoming a mother, there was no one else that was going to teach me to be a mum, you know, other than her. So that's why I went there.
Blissfully true. Honest and real. For my lonely days without you,
Weeks after Emma gave birth, some bad news came through.
We found that Mum had the cancer then. My daughter brought me back to her. Yeah, she took me home to her.
Losing her mum made Emma think more about her role in her family.
A big time of my life when I lost Mum, I was going through all of that, healing, still grieving her. And that's what Crossover, the album that I did with the Putbacks. That's where a lot of the stories or a lot of the songs came from that time. Second to none, love big enough to measure all the stars. I can feel myself now, you know, I'm the oldest granddaughter of my grandmother and grandfather and Mum. I'm the oldest niece. And there's them five uncles, plus my brothers now. We're all like that family. Can be a different time when a woman like that in your life passes. Big shoes to fill.
As we talk more about mothers, Auntie Ruby comes up and I remind Emma of something she observed during the recording sessions for my album.
It was a big feed, that was one thing, but it was the way you wanted to feed me that day, Jen. It was like that same feeling that Auntie Ruby was, she'll make sure she fed people. There's certain women like that. I can feel myself like that, you know, and that's what I love about being back here. I love it that my aunties and I can go to my cousins and we want to feed and look after each other. That's how I grew up. When there's women like that in your life and family, yeah, you stay close.
If you hadn't guessed yet, food is one of my greatest passions. It's something I inherited from my mum, Manaaki Tonga, making sure no one ever goes hungry when they're in your care.
Language from the mouth is one language, but the language that came through our mothers and our grandmothers who were forbidden, you know, to speak the language was in Manaaki, was in care, was in food, was in how you lived, was in how you looked after your family. It's the language of the heart, isn't it?
Yep.
And that's what they have, you know, you're as Māori or as Aboriginal as... You don't have to have the language to be that, you know?
No, you're right. Like even the way our family fed us, it wasn't much, but they made do with what they had. I think a lot of black fellas, and I can't speak for all our mob, never will, you know, but what I see most in black fella society and the way that we live today is we're not ashamed of that way anymore. It was hard and hard ways that these old fellas had to provide and had to care and keep us from a lot of things. But we're not ashamed of sharing that anymore. And that's what I want to be. I want to be free of that. There's this one song Auntie Rube wrote about not having much food one time, or Uncle Archie. But they wrote songs about it. And they give me permission. And them old fellas like Mum and Auntie Rube and even Auntie Lou, they give me permission to tell and share that story. And what comes through them things is the generosity, like you, like the way you wanted to feed us. It's the generosity and the genuine love that you want to share. I want that to show through my music more than anything. But not just my music, I just want my kids and all my nieces and nephews and family I want to keep that old way. There's one old song that I did record on the crossover album in Gumbangan, Yarian Michi. Honey Ruby, she's from South Australia, she's a Ngarrindjeri woman. And my understanding of that translation for Yarian Michi, Honey Ruby asking about her country. Because Honey Ruby was taken from the Kurong, from the river where she was born. Even like, you know, I heard some of the demos and that her and Uncle Archie made, like right up until, you know, recent times, like they're still recording on the double, like pressing the record and the play button on the old cassettes, you know. But yeah, no, so the translation for Yarian Michi is, you know, what is my story? I'll tell you my story. Aunt asking a question and answering herself. Where's my country? I'll tell you my country. And she's talking about that return and how proud she was to, you know, write and translate that story in her language. So that's what Yarian Michi is about, when she was taken and when she returned. And when she returned, she wrote that song in her language. Yeah, boss woman, Honey Rube. Proper boss.
Such a boss. Hearing Emma's stories about Auntie Ruby makes me want to share one of my own. Perhaps it's no coincidence that Wah, Crows, turned up as I did.
The week Uncle Archie passed, I was asked to do a Triple R live show and with my band, and I just thought, you don't get up and play a set when a legend's passed without acknowledging them. I remember seeing him play Port Fairy, the first gig he played back without Auntie. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw, Emma. Like,
cool.
He wept on that stage. He had a seat like this for her. And I never saw anyone share their grief so generously. Incredible for me to just watch him do grief in a way that wasn't all like, let's just shove it down and pretend it's not happening. Like, he acknowledged that it was there in the room, you know. I was like, wow. But that week that he passed, I remember thinking, I want to sing Charcoal Lane, but is that my story to tell, you know? And I was looking out the window and there's this big red gum out my window, and never happened before. All of a sudden, these two magpies land and just start singing up.
Oh, proper singing, yeah.
You know how they just like...
Yeah, go for it.
Most beautiful. I love how they sing. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to sing that song because I'm an alcoholic in recovery. I've been sober 19 years. And hearing other musicians come up on the stage and sing about their alcoholism, and then seeing them, I mean, it's a lot more than that, but, you know, Charcoal Lane does talk about the drinking, and then seeing them get sober and tour the world, I was like, thank you for telling those stories. You know, because it's so, a lot of people don't, and I guess I just wanted to ask you, like, what did they show you as a songwriter and a performer?
No, thanks for sharing that, sis. So, just thinking of them magpies now. I'm always looking for them signs. I'm always... That's how we know how to move forward and be in that place I always talk about, where you know you're on the right track, you know?
Signs that show us we're on the right path. Like Emma, I notice these things today. The little coincidences, how things work out.
Just hearing you, you know, acknowledge and hear that talk about how he was confident or he didn't hide that grief. I think Aboriginal mob, a lot of Indigenous mob, we know how to come and let it out. We know how to let it out. Like, that's the best way that I've gotten through my grief with my mum. I had to do it with my family because we've got each other to let it out. There's all these roles we go back to in community. There's a reason we have, in our kinship, we have more than one mother, more than one sister, more than one brother, more than one father. Because when our brother goes, when our sister goes, when our mother goes, we have them other roles. They're fulfilled. And that's why it's, grief is massive for us, but we know how to deal with it together. Yeah, and that's what I love about my family and that kinship and that way, is we know how to deal with it. He has to share it. He has to put it out there.
Whānau, mob, family. Fulfilling our roles. Another language, unspoken, but felt.
I have seen your, I mean, I hate saying it, sounds so naff, but your star rise a bit later in life, and I feel like that's an exciting thing, and I just wanted to ask you, you know, like me, we're in our 40s and I reckon we're making our best work, and like,
oh,
how's it all feeling?
But writing for me, it's helped me be who I am too. Like, you know, we go back to all the language and all the stories from our people, my kids. They're going to remember me when I'm gone. Yeah. I've only just started, I reckon.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear your mother? Can you hear your black mother? Gina Gay. Wariyaranginda. Gumbengi gangalila niyala dogiye gumbengila yari yarang naya yara gumbengi ganda. Okay, and you again now?
Yeah.
Hey. Come on, fighting over it now.
Yari yarginda yara. Yeah.
I'm Jen Kloa. I made a new album. It's called Kuo Te Awa, Ko Te Awa Kuo, or I Am the River. The river is me. I am coming home. Use is a protest song. Giving it away when you know you're famous. More than a feeling. You can hear it wherever you stream your music. I've also put a link in the episode description. I'll be touring Australia, the UK, Europe and Aotearoa this May, June and July. Come say g'day.